We pray. Lord, open our hearts to your word and give us the ability to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. Our chapel verse for this morning, which we meditate upon, it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We've come to another transition period in our lives, the end of one year and the beginning of another. This is often a time of reflection on how the previous year went. Did you accomplish everything you set out to do? Was your year marked with mostly good times or bad times? Or maybe a mixture of both? More recently, we've experienced the change from one semester to another. It may not seem like it, but before you know it, we're going to be at May, around graduation time, and many of our older students are going to experience quite a bit of change in their lives. When we ask these things and when we look on the past, it often forces us to focus on the present and the future as well. Whether or not we like it, our past events, whether they be good or bad, have an effect on how we proceed into the future. And so it is fitting to ask ourselves the question today, as we look on the past year, on the past semester, what are we going to do in the future? Most people resolve to change bad habits around the new year. Things like, I want to lose weight and exercise more. I want to start a new hobby, or I want to read books more and watch less TV. Those are some common things that people say. Our chapel verse for this morning talks about what the Apostle Paul focused on in a time of transition in his own life. He tells his members at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord. Now, one may ask why Paul chose to leave this congregation with a message like this. Tradition holds that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians when he was imprisoned at Rome. What did he have to rejoice about? Why would he tell his members to rejoice in such desperate times? Well, it would only seem this way to an outsider, to somebody who didn't know Jesus Christ. Although this was definitely a time of uncertainty, both with Paul and his congregation, they could rest assured because they had the peace of Jesus Christ. They weren't experiencing a transition from one calendar year to the next or from one semester to the next. But they did have change in their lives and they were transitioning. Most people acknowledge that Paul's first congregation in Europe was at Philippi. With no uncertainty, he had a special spiritual bond with these individuals, bringing them into faith and starting that congregation. It certainly must have been very trying for them to know that their leader, their spiritual guide, was in prison. When it seemed like the tiny flame of Christianity for these members was being engulfed by adversaries on all sides, Paul simply tells them to rejoice. What a short, sweet, and timeless message that Paul gives them. In a time of transition, stay with what works. Don't be cast about by the cares of the world and look for different changes here and there. Continue with the only thing that doesn't change, with the one person who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see why Paul had confidence in writing such things to these Christians. He declares in verses 6 and 7 of the same chapter, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Philippians didn't have to worry about the future because they were founded securely in Jesus Christ. Perhaps that last verse sounds familiar to many of you. It's how we often end our sermons, with that very verse. The peace of God is with you. What a comforting message to leave, no matter what message you may be telling people about. Leave them with the peace that Jesus brings. And the very same, just as this is true for the Philippians in Paul's day, is true for us today. Whether we be starting a new year or a new semester, continue in the peace of Jesus Christ. Everything we experience in this world, every kind of hardship, every kind of disaster, everything that sets us back or that makes us hurt, is a result of our sin. Paul knew this for the Philippians. He knew that every hardship they experienced was a result of their sin. Every past mishap that they wanted to change was because they failed to keep God's law perfectly. Every future sin they would commit was because they neglected the Lord. And the same is true for us today, even though we may be 2,000 years from when Paul wrote these words. Every hardship and every encounter that we have of temptation or doubt from Satan comes as a result of sin. But there's one thing that remains the same throughout. One thing that Paul focuses his congregation on, and the one thing that we focus on today. Rejoice in the Lord. Even though we've failed many times in the past, and there's many things we'd like to change, and even though we're going to continue to fail in the future, one thing remains the same. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and hell. He has suffered and died for our sins. We have forgiveness with Him, no matter how devastating or how great we may think it to be. During these last few weeks, we have focused on the birth of Jesus and all the blessings that come as a result of Him coming in our place. Let us continue that same sentiment into our new year, into our new semester, into every period of our lives, no matter what it may be. We're not so different from those Philippians long ago. We have hardships, we have sin, we have disaster, but we also have peace. And we can also rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what our circumstance may be, no matter what station the Lord puts us at in our lives, we can rejoice. Let us transition into our new year the same way that Paul encouraged the Philippians: rejoice in the Lord. Perhaps there's no greater example in the Old Testament of suffering than what Job went through. None of us here can say that we've experienced what he did. But he exclaimed, very simply, at the one thing that could give him comfort. One thing, that's it. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last upon the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Just like Job, just like the Philippians, we echo those same statements in our day and age. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. We close with hymn 72, verses 1 and 4. I have one announcement.